Hey, it's Maggie. I can't get to my phone right now. You know what to do.
Dude, Maggie, I have something to tell you. You gotta call me back.
I'm a professional? What? <Yeah. laughs> If you want something so bad, you're gonna go outside of your comfort zone and do it.
For whatever reason, I was like, you know what? I'll just run a marathon.
Those were the hardest years I've gone through. If I could do that, I can do anything. When I can set some good-ass boundaries and not feel guilty about it, that's a level up.
Hey, it's Maggie.
And Tia.
And this is
Call Your BFF.
Testing. 1, 2, 3.
Uno, dos, tres.
I love how you spoke in Spanish because... No! I spilled my V8 juice on my blanket. Ah! On the white blanket, part 2.
Oh, no.
Pause. Shit.
So we're having a slight intermission, even though we're only 30 seconds in.
I fucked it up in the worst way. RuPaul would not be proud.
Welcome back. All right, take 2.
Stuff. Our stuff that Maggie does is poppin'. Our Instagram's poppin', our countries are poppin', and we got a new one.
We got a new country, and this one is fresh. Well, it's fresh for us because it just came through yesterday. But yes. When you guys are listening to this episode, it won't be as fresh. But
it'll be a week
still exciting.
Stale.
A week stale.
So our new country is Ecuador. I think about what's it called? Beauty pageants, like Miss Universe and stuff, and they have to like yell their country.
Yeah.
And Ecuador is always in it too. And I just, it's funny how every country just yells their nation that they're from. So it's like Ecuador.
At least that's pretty.
Like your fancy dresses. Yeah, it rolls off your tongue really well.
Yelling the United States is kind of
United
disturbing.
States of America. Good thing we're not in beauty pageants.
Yeah, thank God.
We don't got to worry about it.
That's why we're not in beauty pageants.
That's the only reason. But for Ecuador, they speak Spanish. So before I spilled my V8 juice when we were doing our testing 1, 2, 3, Maggie said it in Spanish. And I was like, that's perfect because Ecuador's name actually comes from the Spanish word for equator. Because Ecuador straddles the equator.
Pretty hot.
So it's quite hot. So it says they even have a monument to celebrate its location in the middle of the world, found about 24 kilometers from the capital. And I'm not going to try to pronounce the capital of Ecuador. It's lots of words and looks hard. But that is also pretty cool that's why it's called Ecuador. I did not know in Spanish Ecuador was equator. Ecuador is also really good about recognizing nature's rights. And in 2008, they became the first country to officially recognize that nature has constitutional rights.
Wow. So what does that mean for them? That there's like areas that they can't destroy?
I think that's what that means because they have a law under Article 71 out of whatever article that is. I don't know. It states that nature's rights to exist, persist, maintain, and regenerate is vital cycle structures, functions, and its process and evolution.
So what I'm hearing is nature has more rights in Ecuador than women have rights in the United States.
You got that right. I think it's because nature's pretty neat. Also, Ecuador is the country that's closest to the outer space. Because it has over 6,000 meters tall, or at over 6,000 meters tall, Mount Chimborazo is one impressive inactive volcano. And it's the highest point of the Earth.
That surprises me.
Yeah, so it says, before you counteract with Mount Everest, the reason why Chimborazo tops out is due to a strange occurrence at the equator where the world bulges out in the middle, making it an imperfect sphere. This geographic oddity gives Ecuador's volcano an extra boost so that if you were to measure from the center of the earth, it would easily loom over all other mountains.
My mind's blown.
My mind is super blown. And then also the Galapagos Islands are in Ecuador.
I didn't know that the earth bulged.
I didn't know the earth bulged either. I just thought it was a perfect circle. So they don't draw it accurately on anything.
Oh, no. I have seen those that, like, oh, if it was actually drawn to scale and stuff. Those are pretty interesting. But I didn't know that it was actually bulged.
Yeah, that's weird. But yeah, the Galapagos Islands are also in Ecuador. So when Charles Darwin found the blue-footed boobies, Ecuador. But yeah, those are the fun facts I found.
And somebody from there is listening to us. Hello.
Shout out to you and your blue-footed boobies.
Yeah. Can you pet a blue-footed booby for us?
Can you catch one?
We'd like a picture.
Yes, please.
All right. So I guess, to start, what do you feel like has been the biggest, like, push that you've pushed yourself out of your comfort zone in life? And when I was thinking about this, I was kind of trying to, like, break it up because I feel like I've done it a lot more athletically, but then I also have, like, professionally.
Right.
And then, so I was trying to break it up into different, like, areas, I guess, because I have kind of examples for all of them.
So I was thinking about, like, grad school interviews. That was probably the most intimidating interview ever. But honestly, I think every time I do a job interview, because I think I suck at what I do until I actually talk about what I do, and I'm like, whoa, I'm actually really good at what I do.
Yeah. You're like, oh, wow, I know a lot more than I thought.
Yeah. I'm a professional? What? <Yeah. laughs> So I think about that type of, like, outside of my comfort zone. And I feel like with sports, too, you're right. Like, I didn't really think about that one at first. But I constantly, like, pushed myself to be better and try new things within, like, soccer, for sure. And, like, doing different sports and trying new things. So I guess, where do we want to hone in on first?
Where should we start?
Any direction.
let's start with professional piece. We'll both talk on that. And then we'll move to, like, sports, and then we can do, like, people.
Okay. So when I think about, like, job stuff, like, I think, like, the very first time I put myself out of my comfort zone was, like, grad school interviews. Those were the most intense interviews ever. Like, a full-ass day from, like, 8 a.m. to, like, I think it was, like, 3 or 4 p.m.
Why are they so intense?
They're crazy. I don't know. I can only speak to, like, mental health programs, but for, like, clinical mental health counseling, they would only take – how many people did we have? I think we started with, like, 20, but it dwindled down to, like, 14 or 15 at the end. I mean, I could count, but – so it's, like, super
– small cohorts.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I could not think of cohort. So super, super small cohort. But, like, interview day, when I think about, like, Eastern Illinois, like, there were probably over 100 people there. They were also doing, like, the school therapy route too that same day, and we were all kind of together. You just had to, like, specify which one you wanted to do. But, like, that day, you were split in half. And, like, the first half of the day, for me, there was, like, a student panel. So, like, current students, like, we could, like, ask them questions and, like, get to learn more about their experience. And then also some of the professors were there too to, like, answer questions. And then we would have lunch, and then I was in the portion where the second half of the day was, like, my group interview. So I never had a one-on-one interview for Easterns, and for, like, the group interviews, it was two different sections, and they were both, I don't even remember how long they were each. I think it was, like, an hour, hour and a half long. And I also went to the wrong room, and that was also super intimidating. So I had to, like, they were, like, saying, like, oh, is everyone where they're supposed to be? And I, like, thought I was in the wrong spot. So I was like, I think I'm in the wrong room. And it's like, oh, what's your name? And so I was like, Tierra, because that's what everything is when it's, like, professional. And she's like, oh, yeah, you are in the wrong room. Let me get you to the right room. So then I went to the right room, but I forgot my purse in the first room because I was so flustered. I was like, oh, my fucking God, this is intimidating. So the whole first interview that I did, the professor that was doing it made everyone go in the exact same order to answer the question every time. And I sat closest to her. So I had to answer every single question she asked first and then listen to everyone else give their answer. And I was just like,
that's a very weird environment.
It was super weird. And then the second professor, well, in between then I had to go, I was like, can I go grab my purse from the other room? Because I forgot it. So I went and grabbed it, came back. And actually, Emily was in my interview room.
She's like, this for that bitch.
One. Yeah, she's like, I should have known. But so I got my first one back, and then it was like me, Emily, and then actually three out of the four other people that were in my group actually got into our program. So that was like crazy. But then another professor came, and that one we could kind of just have more of a conversation base, and anyone could talk at a certain time. Like, it wasn't like as strict as the other one.
Yeah.
And that one was really intimidating, but I really had to put myself out of my comfort zone because I was like, I don't know shit about counseling, still kind of don't even know what it really is and how I want to do this, but I have to make it sound like I know I want to do this and that I'm pretty cool and you should impress them.
Yeah. School.
Right. And then my other interview that I did was at Indiana State, and that one there was like mini group interviews where you were paired with one other person and got interviewed, and my person didn't show up. So I just had one-on-one interviews for my first two interviews, which was like kind – it was nice. I was like, okay, I don't have to worry about someone else talking, but I had to take up the whole half an hour of me and this person just talking. So I was like
– I feel like you had no problem. Yeah.
I didn't. I was like, all right, I got this. And – one of them was a student that was like currently in the program that was interviewing me. So I was like, perfect. You're not intimidating. I got this. And another one was our professor, and that one was intimidating. But then the second half of the day, we had to do a fucking case study.
Jeez.
And I'm like, that's why I'm coming to grad school. I don't know shit. So that one was really hard. And Emily was actually at that interview too. And we were also in the same interview group for that one.
What a small world. Right? Where did she go to undergrad?
Indiana State.
Oh, okay. That's funny, though.
Yeah. I was just like, what are the odds? But
fate.
Emily and I didn't really talk at all because Emily is so shy. Like, she sat with me. We sat next to each other at EIU's group interview, I'm pretty sure, or like really close to each other. And there's another girl that was at both interviews that was more talkative. And I end up recognizing her from the Indiana State one at EIU. So we sat by each other at lunch and talked. And it's just like funny how I noticed Emily and I was like, oh, she's been at both. Like, that's super cool. Like, I recognized and
but didn't like whatever. Connect with her right away.
Right. And then both of Emily and then the other girl both went to EIU. But those were really intimidating just because it was like I felt very impostery and just like really sweaty.
Yeah, I did not realize how intense that is.
And I wore a pantsuit. I don't fucking wear pantsuits. I still have it. Actually, that is my go-to interview outfit because I feel very powerful. And also, I don't look like I belong. Like, my original professional headshot that was on Catalpa's website, we have now changed it. But my first professional headshot was in my, like, blazer. And my coworkers make fun of me. They're like, you never dress that nice. And I said, well, it's a headshot. I thought I had to look professional. Whereas now my professional headshot just has a You Matter shirt that we all have. And I wore that. And that looks – I look so much more comfortable in that picture.
Yeah.
Yes. So kind of speaking to, like, comfort zones, I was not comfortable one bit that whole time. And the way I coped with that was wearing armpit pads to soak up my sweat. So I was so sweaty.
That's how you put yourself out of your comfort zone. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's the episode.
Yep. You got this, y'all. You're allowed to sweat. It'll be okay. Do your best.
I like your preparedness.
Thank you. And honestly, I feel like you just fake it till you make it in those situations. Yeah. I don't know what the fuck I was talking about. I still don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
So did you feel like you had the same nervousness when you were then applying for jobs?
Yes.
Did it feel less stressful than your grad interviews?
I think they felt less stressful because they were shorter. All of my interviews were like an hour. One of my interviews – because a lot of my interviews were during COVID. So they were all virtual or phone. Mm-hmm. So that actually was really nice that I could just like – I could pace, I could do whatever, drink my water as I did that. But when I applied to UW Green Bay and did that one was a half day interview. Mm-hmm. So that one I was super nervous about. And like, I don't wear heels ever. And I wore my pantsuit that day. And I have to wear my 2-inch heels that I have with a little open toe. So I had to make sure my toenails were done. And I had to practice walking in my heels again because I like flat shoes. And that one I was really intimidated for because I knew one part of my interview was going to be with 5 therapists interviewing me. And then the second half of my interview was people from different departments. And I kid you not, Maggie, like the size of like your bike area and like where like your desk is. Mm-hmm. That's like how big of a room it was. And there was like 20 people in there interviewing me. That one was really intimidating. And I think like in those like situations too, like I kind of black out and just hope for the best. Which I know is not helpful. But I think every time I've done an interview, like it's been a confidence booster. Like, okay, like I can talk really eloquently when I need to, or like recently with like talking to my bosses about like trying to get a raise and like those types of conversations, like I get so sweaty every single time because I'm so nervous. And like, that's really helped me find my self-worth too, and like what I'm actually worth in the work field too.
Yeah. Did you ever in any of your classes in college do like interview prep stuff? I remember doing it in one class and I don't remember what class it was.
Was it in your business classes?
I'm assuming it was probably a business class, but I don't remember it being helpful at all. And like, I know that I think we talked about it in one of the episodes of like, I didn't interview for anything before like interviewing for a job.
Right.
So then it was like panic stricken. And it was like, you have to do this and you have to get over your fear because you need a job. And I was like, I can't, like, I don't know how to. I'm like, why don't they teach you this kind of stuff? Or we did, but it would be like, oh, pair up with like a classmate. And then it's like, okay, well now I'm with my friend. Like, you really think that this is going to go well? Or like a stranger that we're just like, what do you think your strengths are?
I feel like the one biggest thing, and I don't remember where I learned this, if it was like from my parents or like a class or something, but it was always like, they're going to ask you like something about what is your biggest weakness? And you have to think of something that sounds like a weakness, but is also a benefit at the same time. So mine's always that I care too much, because I do. And that's a weakness because a lot of my emotions come into play. And it's a strength because I care so much. I do really well at my job and I take time to like go through the finer details.
I like that. I don't remember what I would say for my weakness, but mine was along the same lines. I think mine was like delegating tasks. Like, I'm not good at delegating stuff, which I think that there maybe not like a positive spin on that, but I think the way I tried to spin it was like, I'm just good at getting stuff done. Like, I guess.
I feel like interviews are so hard because it's like, it's just so much pressure to like talk so highly of yourself.
Yeah. And I feel like it's not fake, but you really do have to go in and act like not yourself. And because you're afraid, it's just weird because it's like, you're afraid of like putting your real self out there because you're supposed to be professional.
Right. And I feel like professionalism has changed so much.
Like, yeah, and it even changed like while you've been working. I don't know. I guess going back to the whole like interviewing and like professionalism, it's like you're putting your quote unquote best foot forward, but at the same time, it's not necessarily like you.
It's my left foot, not my right foot.
Right. Or like the inquisitives of like, yeah, just feeling like everything that comes out of your mouth has to be like immensely positive.
Yeah, and like,
what are your weaknesses? Well, I just care about other people's lives so much. Sometimes it's just a flaw.
It is.
No, it totally is, but you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, no one's going to be like, yeah, I have the worst time management skills of ever.
Right, I suck at
even though that could be completely true.
Yeah,
right.
Like, I never am on top of
my actually training. Don't know how to use Excel, so don't ever ask.
I also my biggest weakness is I can't spell worth shit, so it takes me longer to write my notes because I have to think of a synonym of the word I want to write because Google doesn't know what I want to write. I should start saying that in interviews. That's actually funny. But I think like one thing, because I've done actually a lot of interviews now that I'm thinking about it. And
yeah, you have.
I think one thing that I've found as I've put myself out of my comfort zone and applied for jobs that I wasn't sure about or didn't know a lot about or was just kind of like, I don't know if this is for me. I think the coolest part is when I eventually get to the point of interviews where it's me asking questions and it's more of like a conversation rather than it just being answers drilled at you. Like, I like that collaborative part. And like, I'm probably too honest during interviews, like where I'm like, where I'm feeling concerned about or hesitant about, which maybe that's why I keep getting job offers. I don't know. But I think it is nice to have just like that collaboration. But I again, 1,000% am so fucking sweaty that whole time. Cause I'm just like, what is going on? But I've honestly only ever had my one interview where I was like, I need a job. Whereas interviews after that have been, I'm in the power seat. So I think that also.
That's really a huge difference.
Too. Yeah.
Cause I actually applied for a position probably in October. And I applied for it. They're a bike clothing company.
Oh, yes.
And they're like kind of small. I think there's only like 25 employees. But they had posted the position and it was like full-time and or contract. And I was like at that point where I only had a few clients and I was like, you know what? What the hell? Like if something happens from this, like this would be a super cool job.
Yeah.
So I applied. Like got my resume together. Actually, Tyler and I were traveling for a race and I did my resume like in the hotel room.
Classic.
And then I think I applied either like that day or the next day and like no stress. I just like sent it, emailed it. I like told Tyler after the fact that I even like applied for the thing.
Because what do you have to lose?
Yeah. And I was so comfortable and like looking back at it too, it was like multiple different areas of comfort. One, I like knew it. Like I knew the job. I knew what the company did. Like I'd worked with them before to like get stuff. Right. But I think also that piece of, I've already been in this. I already know like what you're going to ask me or like what you want to hear type thing after like being in, you know, the working world for a little while of like how to answer a question and recognizing from like a employer standpoint of like what, not like knowing what they want to hear, I guess, but like just knowing how it goes, what people look for, you know?
Yes.
So it's definitely, it's so tough out of school though, like it out of college and so much stress because you're forced to be doing it. Yeah. And you don't know what you like yet. And I think that's the hardest part of like with any job, no matter how specific your like studies might be. I mean, maybe there's certain ones that are way specific, but I mean, marketing, therapy, like there's so many different things you can go into.
There's a million different
things. And you don't know, like, so you're not like super passionate about it yet because you don't know what it's like. And I struggled with that too. Like when I was applying and my dad would like send me stuff and he's like, oh, Maggie, I found this really great job. And I'd be like, seriously? Like, no. Oh, it was a water bottle company. It was like a water company. And I was like, no, I'm not. And he's like, just apply for it. I'm like, why? What? I'm not going to sell water.
Right. Yeah, so. I cannot see that.
But yeah.
I think that is, like, when we first came out, like, there was such a pressure to take whatever we could get. Because we needed money.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, now it feels like we now have, like, that quote-unquote experience you have to actually, like, make some power moves. And now that we have this experience, it's nice to feel like we finally are in the driver's seat. And I think that's truly because we were kind of forced to go outside of our comfort zone and apply to different places and try different things and figure out like what we don't and don't like in the work world. And when I think about just in general, going outside of our comfort zone is how we actually grow as humans. Like if we do the same thing day in and day out every single day, we're not going to grow.
Right.
Here's me not wanting to be stuck again. Actually, I talked about that in therapy today with my therapist. I told her how we did the personality traits. And I was just like, this, and I was like, it makes so much sense. Like, this is why I don't want to be stuck in like these areas of my life. And I think like as uncomfortable it is pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone, that's when we truly get to like learn what we like and don't like.
Yeah, 100%. And like you, I feel like you kind of like, what's the word for it? Not unpack. You like unlock different parts of yourself.
Yeah.
I think.
Yes. Level up.
You level up.
Level up.
I was going to say, I feel like all in like the examples that I was able to kind of like think of like times I've pushed myself, I mm-hmm. think quitting my job and starting my own business was definitely the biggest and
hugest level up.
Riskiest. Risk. How do you say it? Risky? Yeah.
Riskiest. Yeah, I would say riskiest.
Risky. And also probably not like I wouldn't tell somebody to do it exactly how I did because it was a little unstable and still relying on like, okay, well, at least I live with somebody if right. like I'm not responsible for a everything. Full yeah. So but that's hard, but so much learned through that entire process and still to this day where I don't know if I would have ever learned a lot of what I have learned from just either staying with my old job or even moving to another mm-hmm. job of just like all the other things of business, but also what I actually like truly like doing. Like I never would have done any podcast stuff. I never would have been able to design any more than what I was doing at that current job. And now right. it's like my favorite part of my job is like being creative. I was like put in a box with my creativity. So,
oh my gosh, yes. I say even like speaking about the podcast, like never in a million years would I have thought that I would be on a podcast. Like I love listening to podcasts, but like I never thought, I mean, not that I do shit besides talk, but I never, ever in a million years would have imagined. And it's been really cool to have like I know you and I already talked about this, but like one of my coworkers like saying like, I finally like listened to some of your episodes and like, they're so relatable and that's so cool. And you guys are going to go so far with this. And I'm like, holy shit. Like that is so outside of our comfort zone. And I don't know, I'm getting used to hearing my voice a lot more, which I don't know if this is getting to my head and making my ego super big now. I don't know. I think I'm getting better too at recognizing that it is us. Because I think at the beginning, because it is outside of my comfort zone even doing this, I like was like, this isn't us. I'm just listening to this podcast and like, I want to like talk as we're like listening and like, oh my gosh, like this person's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, it is me. But I think that part has been, I think, such a confidence booster too, like that we can literally do anything we put our mind to. And that's like same for like literally any person out there. Like if you want something so bad, you're going to go outside of your comfort zone and do it.
Yeah. And you're going to figure out how and why. Right. And not so much like the why, but the how, because the how is mm-hmm. like kind of the hardest part. And that's where mm-hmm. like I didn't know how. I don't know. People, I would assume that my parents thought I was a bit insane when I was like, I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to work part time and I'm just going to figure it out.
I know. I was worried about you.
And then
you.
When my part time thing didn't end up to be what it was supposed to be. And I, that was a huge, like,
that was bad
force that was like, okay, if I actually don't put myself out there more, I'm going mm-hmm. to fail at this and I'm going to have to. Mm-hmm. go interview somewhere else. And it wasn't so much of like failing. It was just like knowing that I didn't want to be, to your point, stuck in the position that I was in. But also looking back at it too, I think my stubbornness was definitely like a driving factor in it because it was, mm-hmm. I was so motivated to do what I said I was going to do. And when that wound up not happening, it was like, well, now I just have to like prove somebody wrong type thing.
Right.
And I think that's a weird like driving factor for a lot of people, but I don't know. I feel like I have
that
a lot.
That's our competitiveness too. Like I definitely relate to that.
And half the time it's just proving myself wrong.
Right. Literally. And I think like the biggest thing about like going outside of your comfort zone is motivation. Like this all comes back to like, are you motivated to grow as a person or are you content with where you're at? Because if you're content mm-hmm. with where you're at, like don't fix what's not broken, you know?
Yeah.
But I think when I think about life, like I think there's just so much in this world that I can explore, that I can learn, that I can become better at. May it be in my career. May it be now that we're both coaches, like in our coaching careers. May it be in our random paintings that we do now. Like there's just like so many levels to unlock and so many different avenues where that feels empowering and cool. And I know for me, like if I ever become complacent, that's what feels scary.
Yeah. Yeah. Bringing up the coaching thing, I didn't even think about that when I was like trying to brainstorm for the episode either. Mm-hmm. But that's like, that's another big one. Cause I mm-hmm. like, I coached when I was in high school and college. Like I was technically one of the head coaches of like our park district swim team. It was so funny. Me and my two friends were the coaches. Nice. And like looking back at it, we were like 20, and like the three of us were all coaches, and like we were in charge of the program. But I coached 8 and unders, and it was fun, and it was easy, and it was like taught me a lot. But then I remember in college when I was coaching club, I was always terrified whenever I had to fill in for the like senior group. And I remember talking to one of the coaches, and she's like, "Why you like your entire demeanor changes when I ask you to like coach the high school kids?" And I'm like, I don't know how to. Like they're better than me, and that's not like not even like an ego thing. It's just like I feel like I've reached my level of my expertise. What am I supposed to tell them? And she's like, you have like the knowledge, you just talk with them. And it's like, I don't know how to, because in my head, they're above me, even though I'm like supposed to be telling them what to do. Cause they're like, their butterfly looks great. And now in like my role now again, it's the same thing. I'm like, I was trying to run and keep up with the girls last night. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to pass out.
It feels impostery.
It does. And I'm like, cause it, yeah, in my head, I'm like, why am I, what gives me the right to tell them what they should be doing when I can't?
Right.
And it's like, not that when it comes down to it, it's like skill and ability and all that, but it's like definitely imposter for sure. But I really, you grow a lot.
No, honestly. And like, I really noticed that in myself too, when I started coaching soccer too, because I started being an assistant coach and then went up to being a head coach. And I still to this day will say like, I'm never meant to be a head coach because I don't like hurting people's feelings. I care too much. And I want to see everyone grow. And I hate having to like yell. I hate that. That's like my least favorite part. And I know like when I think about like my playing experience, I always got along so much better with my assistant coaches because I could actually like talk to them about like what's going on and like what is the expectation for me in this game or how can I grow in this specific part of my playing. And when I was an assistant coach, that was my favorite part, was like I got to pull kids aside and like talk to them one-on-one of like, this is like what I'm noticing, this is what I want you to try to do instead, let's focus on this together, versus head coach being like broad big picture stuff. And now that I am just like the head coach, I have to do both of those things. And that's so much to do with like 20 kids that are on my team. And I know there's kids who fall through the cracks. And like, that's the part where I feel awful. And like, I'm proud of myself for going outside of my comfort zone and being a head coach. Cause now I truly know like future Tia, when I do coach again, I know I don't want to be a head coach. Like I thrive in the assistant coach because it's less responsibility. I don't like thinking about drills every week and like creating the practice plan. Like that's really stressful for me because I can only think about ones I've done and I just don't have time to do the research to find new ones and learn different things. But then also like I like the one-on-one so much more than the big human picture side of it.
I always felt that too. It's like I like being a part of the like journey, I guess.
Yeah.
And not so much pushing them to be the greatest in the world, but more so like developing as a good person.
Yes.
And athlete.
Oh my gosh.
Like obviously they're there to be an athlete, but it's like, how can I help you develop into the most well-rounded athlete human that you can be?
Exactly.
Instead of yelling at you that you need to run faster. It's like,
that's helpful either.
That's a whole nother podcast episode.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Because there's a time and place for both.
There is.
But I think you and I are both very similar, and we excel more in that like human-centric approach of, you know, recognizing like, hey, something's off. Like you want to have a conversation or, you know, I noticed this or that, whatever. Yeah, I didn't even think of that coaching. That's a big one.
No, I think that's a huge one. I think that's where I always feel the most nervous because like I know like I'm very knowledgeable in soccer and I was a very intelligent player too. And now it's like figuring out how can I teach people to be soccer smart too and explain it in a way that makes sense to somebody else. So I think that's where I've struggled the most because a lot of my kids who are in high school haven't actually been properly coached before. And I like have this preconceived notion because I think about myself when I was that age.
Right.
And how like intelligent soccer wise I was. And a lot of that is like my dad from when I was a young age, but then also like other coaches I've had along the way of really teaching me like the IQ of soccer, and all these kids really missed out on it. So it was like taking those steps back and being able to like think back to, okay, now I'm really thinking about when I was like first starting soccer. I have to like think about that's where their brain's at and how do I explain it to them. I still struggle with that sometimes.
That's hard. We're just talking about this in a business aspect before we started recording too. Of like,
yeah, we did.
Trying to pull out like the subconscious behaviors that you just do and like put it out there and like teach somebody is very difficult.
It's so hard. And there's just like some things you can't teach.
Yes. Agreed.
I think that's hard too.
And I guess like with the sport piece, now that we've kind of gone into that with like the coaching, I feel like you and I both, you know, coming from more of an athletic background and being involved in all kinds of sports our whole life, do you feel like sports have given you more of a confidence boost when it comes to like doing other things in your life? Because I feel like personally, I've always used sports or that kind of like active piece of my life as a way to like motivate and push myself in other areas. And it's almost like kind of in that like prove yourself wrong type piece, but it was like the biggest thing I can think of is like running a marathon, because it was around that time, because I did that when I was a senior.
Yeah.
Going into my it was my senior year of college that winter. I was in such a like stressed, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I don't know how I'm supposed to do this. I don't know what I want to do. And then for whatever reason, I was like, you know what? I'll just run a marathon. But I like looking back at it, I was almost like subconsciously using that as a like, if you can do this, then like you can do the other stuff. Because if this is going to be really hard and you're going to have to like try and put effort in and you doubt yourself, but if you can do that, then everything else is going to be easier. And that's just a big example, but I feel like that has been like a constant in like all of my athleticism my whole life.
No, I definitely agree. When I feel like athletics always drove me to like do really good in school and to like take hard classes, and like I knew from a young age that I wanted to play in college. That was like a huge goal of mine. So like I think having that big goal really motivated me and kept me to like meet a really high expectation to be like the best athlete I could be the best in the classroom I could be. I was by no means the smartest kid in my school, but I did give 110% effort in everything I did. And I think like when I had my career ending injury that led to surgery, like junior going into senior year where I missed my senior season, like that was a really hard year. And I had to like, I actually really had to put myself out of my comfort zone in the fact that like my main identifier wasn't an athlete anymore.
Yeah.
And I think like in that year, I really recognized like, well, retrospectively recognized, not in the moment recognized, but I didn't know how to do things well anymore without that. So I think what replaced that for me was like I worked three jobs then senior year. And that's like what motivated me to go. And then I think for now, like what I lean back on now is like grad school. Like if I can do grad school, like the hardest 2 years of my life, like emotionally, physically, and just everything.
Health like, and everything. Yeah.
It was those were the hardest years I've gone through. If I could do that, I can do anything. And I think I have used that always. So I think not only sports, but also like those, like our hardest moments that we have, like I think those are the times where it's like I put myself out of my comfort zone and I've grown. And if I can do that, I can do anything. Except for I'm not going to do a marathon. I don't want to do that. I probably could. I could, and I don't want to.
Well, yours was in a different way because, you know, the grad school, maybe I would have gone to grad school unless I didn't decide to run a marathon. But it was like looking for like the next challenge. But I do think, it stems from that. Like you've seen what like the development or the growth that you've had from one thing. You're like, oh, I wonder what it could be like if I just applied that same, like, again, like if grad school is that hard, I can, you know, interview for this other job and tell my boss that I demand more money.
Still, that was still scary. I still feel scared. Another thing I thought of too, that was like really outside of my comfort zone that I've done post like grad school was I traveled and went on a plane by myself.
Yeah.
I went to New York.
Toured a whole,
Like that was scary. Like I was so anxious. Like I have my journal, like, cause I was like writing a lot when I was in the airport
And it's really fun to look back at now of like what I was feeling and what I was doing. And now, like, I know I can do it. It's definitely not my favorite way to travel because I am such a people person and I want to like experience those things with somebody, but I have the confidence that I can figure it out. Like, I was able to navigate O'Hare all by myself, and shout out to apps on our phone, like the map app. That shit Seriously. Tells you where to go. If I didn't have that, I'd probably really struggle.
Yeah.
But that, I think, was a huge confidence booster because I also never in a million years would have thought I would fly in an airplane by myself.
That's big, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, now you're pushed out of your comfort zone and have no issue traveling.
Right. So thinking about all the ways that we've pushed ourselves outside of our comfort zone, Maggie, where do you want to push yourself next?
Ooh. I feel like I'm still pushing myself a bit. This was more of like a last year thing, last year goal. Yeah. But I just kind of up and decided to start doing like the bike racing again. Yes. With the athletics. But I might have two here. But that definitely like was a big push out of my comfort zone because I have, and it's funny, like I think my mom made a comment about this at one of the races. I was never a team athlete. Like, I never wanted to be, like, on a team. I didn't want people to rely on me. That was my thing. And I forgot what sport it was, but I had, like, when I was younger, made the comment to my mom. And even with, like, swim team, when I was little, I didn't want to compete. But, like, growing up, I didn't want to compete. I didn't want to be relied on. And then, yeah, because, like, water polo was different and stuff, too. Okay. But I was never aggressive, either. And then all of a sudden, I was like, I'm going to start doing bike racing and, like, having to see –
That's like aggressive.
The aggressiveness in it and
yeah,
just like all the things that could go wrong. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I just like was not afraid of it. So that was awesome. A big push outside my comfort zone. But at the same time, it was like I was just telling myself like I was fine. Like I was going to be, whether I was good or bad at it, it was going to be fine because it was something new. And then I had a ton of fun and I wound up like, you kind of like level up. So you start, you start with like people that are around your ability level. And so last summer I leveled up to the third category from five. So like went through five, went up to, I requested to go up to four. And then I moved up to three because of how well I was scoring.
Nice.
So it was like very fun to see like, oh, okay. Like I'm actually pretty good at this, but I would have like never, I don't think I would have ever really like pushed myself to do that 3 years ago. I would have been way too afraid that I was going to do something wrong and cause like an accident. And yeah, but I think like continuing to do that and just like finding new ways to like push myself athletically. But then I also feel like on like the business side, I guess that would be where my like future, like how do I want to push myself is more of like the confidence of being my own, like owning my own company. Cause even when I say that too, I'm like, oh, I just like work for myself. Or like, what do you do? I'm like, oh, I like just do marketing and design and stuff. I don't ever really say like, I don't know. It's just weird. Like I'm still so new to it and still trying to figure out so much stuff, but
I like
I'm
that one.
Grasping that like point of no, this is like serious. Like I'm supporting myself.
Yes.
So that's a big one.
And you're kicking ass at it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Or maybe it's just having our podcast go all over the place. That would be a big jump.
That would be a level up.
What do you think yours would be?
I think like a non-serious one is I want to go skydiving. Like I feel like if I can go skydiving, I can do anything. But I'm not jumping myself. Like I always want to have the person on my back.
You need to be pushed.
Right. I would be ready to go. I just want to have to pull the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'd freak out. So I want to do that. That would be a really out of my comfort zone. But I also like roller coasters. I feel like that's like the most extreme roller coaster, even though it's not coastery. So that for sure. I think another one I want to continue to push outside my comfort zone is more work-based of like communicating like with my leadership team, like when I think things aren't going the way they need to be and how I think programs can grow and advocating for my needs more. So I know I've been doing that, but I think there's so much more I could do. Or even like smaller team-wise, like with one of my teams that I'm in, I'm sometimes not as likely to share how I'm truly feeling because I'm nervous of like what people's reactions will be. So I think that's a place I really want to like push myself out of my comfort zone, because it's kind of like when you think about school, that if you have a question or are feeling confused, someone else in the room is probably also feeling that way and mm-hmm. just hasn't said anything. So I think I want to grow in that part, like work-wise. And then personal life, I still need to get better at my boundaries because my people-pleasing yeah. is still same. Still there. We're still working on it. But
someone wants to
I
let
think
us
that'll,
know.
That'll be the level up. When I can set some good-ass boundaries and not feel guilty about it, that's a level up.
Yeah, I feel like, I guess, like the pushing myself out of my comfort zone ever since leaving my job has forced me to push myself in other areas. And I think that's yeah. been one of them, that I have been a lot more vocal with things that I think in my life that I wouldn't have normally been in the past.
Yeah.
And like, hey, this isn't right. Or putting that boundary of like, I don't want this in my life if this is how mm-hmm. this is going to go type thing.
Yep.
Which is really scary and hard and
it's terrifying.
Causes issues and all of the above.
And emotions.
But it's important to do sometimes, just even if it's for selfish reasons.
It's okay to be selfish.
Yeah. But it does kind of just like catapult. It's because like once yeah. you're able to, you know, start sticking up for yourself at work and, mm-hmm. you know, saying all this stuff, then down the road, it's like maybe, you know, a job lands at your feet because people notice like, wow, Tia's a really great like professional and she has all these amazing ideas and she's not afraid to like... Mm-hmm. stand up for what's right. You never know.
Right.
Or you just keep pushing it and keep pushing yourself in all these different areas that, yeah, yeah you like you just constantly grow.
I'm excited. Level up, level up. Ow. I don't even know the words besides level up. Level up, level up, level up. All this on me so yummy. What does that even mean?
So the lesson here is please continue to listen to our podcast episode so Tia doesn't begin her rapping career. We thank you for your support.